Welcome everyone to OT with DA. This is in many ways, I suppose you could say, the prequel to OT with DA. I'll talk more about that in just a second, but let me just start by welcoming everybody. So glad you're here. I hope that those of you that are live on Instagram are able to hear me okay. And let me just tell you what's happening. When we did DA with DA, it was very... It was just fly by the seat of the pants, right? It was just an idea that I think the Lord gave me, and I had a phone and I had an iPad. And I said, hey, I got this idea. I'm going to read through Ellen White's classic on the life of Christ, The Desire of Ages. And I'll see if anybody wants to follow along on Instagram Live. We also tried Facebook Live. For those of you that were with us, that didn't work out very well. But anyway, it was very... fly by the seat of the pants, right? It was just, let's see how it works. And fortunately, some really wonderful people came to my rescue, helped me to figure out some of the technical things. Someone, you know who you are, even started a YouTube channel for me, which I didn't have before. So anyway, I say all of that to say, welcome to everyone. And let me sort of explain something here. If you're on Instagram Live, you're kind of to my left and you're over there and I will... sometimes be talking to you and addressing you like this. See, I'm talking to you, Instagram Live's over there. But we are also recording this, can I say professionally? With higher audio quality, higher video quality, and a little more, you know, schmick look for YouTube. And that's happening over there. And so when I talk to that camera, I'm talking to those that will view this on YouTube, and we'll view it in the months and years to come. And when I look over here, I'm talking to Instagram Live. Welcome to everyone. We have over 500 people already live and more signing in. So the reason I'm letting you know that is that I don't want you to think that I'm a crazy person, sometimes looking here, and sometimes looking here, and sometimes looking here. So if you want higher quality audio and higher quality video, then you're going to want to not watch the lives, or I guess you could watch both, but when we upload the programs to YouTube, they will be beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I want to give a big shout out, a giant shout out. Maybe we could give a big digital round of applause to my dear friend, Jim Hunegard, who's sitting in this room right now, who's made all of this happen. I could tell you how basically, here's what I did. I went on, you know, Amazon and B&H Photo and the interwebs, and I just ordered a bunch of stuff. I ordered lights and a camera and a computer and audio equipment and microphone. I just ordered stuff. Well, I don't know anything about doing, video or digital video. I do know quite a little bit about photography, but I just ordered stuff because that's what I do. And up until, this is a true story, up until, was it Friday, Jim? Up until Friday, everything was in boxes. It had been in boxes for like 4 months. And so I reached out to Jim. I said, hey, Jim, I'm getting ready to do this OT with DA thing. And I've ordered a bunch of like video equipment because he's a professional video guy. He's amazing at it. He does Table Talk. He's done every season of Table Talk. He did the Digma videos. I mean, he's a pilot. He's a film guy. He's amazing. He's a hero. Anyway, so I call him like 3 days before OT with DA is supposed to start because I've been in Chattanooga recording a series with Ty Gibson, a 10-part series on the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, that was absolutely amazing. You're going to want to pick that up. Watch that on the Storyline YouTube channel. But anyway, I literally landed, called up Jim, said, Jim, I got boxes full of stuff. Can you come help me put it together? And he did. If he hadn't showed up, anyway, I'd still be talking to my phone and my iPad, which is great, but what we're trying to do here is Instagram Live right here and YouTube over here. So welcome everybody. We are thrilled that you are here. Instagram Live, we're going to try and do it through the whole OT with DA challenge. Hopefully it works. I think it will. And then the YouTube videos we will upload probably within an hour or two after the live is done. Okay, so that's how this is all going to work. I'll probably remind you of that a couple times. I just know that it might look a little funny when I'm talking to the camera here, and then I suddenly go over here and say, hi, Mel, hi, Austin, hi, Carl Michael, and people are like, who's he talking to? Is he in a room full of people? No, he's in a digital room full of people. Wow, we're over 600 people. Woo, come on now. So anyway, welcome to OT with DA. My name is Pastor David Asherick. We are going to do our intro to OT. I'm going to say DA with DA over and over and over again. So we're going to do our intro to OT with DA. It sounds so funny for me to say that, but I'll get used to it. And I've got several pages of notes here that I'm going to go through. A lot to cover. This intro session should be about an hour. Okay, so that's our goal. We're shooting for an hour here. And in general, we'll try to keep our sessions to around an hour. For those of you that were with us in DA with DA, you know that that didn't always happen, right? Just to be really generous and really honest. But I'm going to start with prayer. Welcome, everybody. We are so glad you are here. Today is day one of OT with DA. I am beyond thrilled, beyond happy. And I'm just so thankful to Jesus for so many things. In fact, I just ate a giant bowl of my wife's amazing curry tofu. And so I'm energized, I'm nourished, I'm fired up. Let's start with prayer, and then I got a lot to tell you. So let's get into this. Father in heaven, I right now just have a heart overflowing with gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness and all the other synonyms that mean that my heart goes out to you. Father, you have worked in such a marvelous way in my life. I've been a follower of yours, I'm happy to say, for I suppose more than 25 years now. And Lord, about a year ago, you laid on my heart this idea to do the DA with DA challenge. And Father, I thought maybe a dozen or a few dozen people would do it, and it ended up being hundreds and even thousands. And Lord, now you've laid it on my heart, and you've laid it on the heart of a lot of other people who have asked me to do it, OT with DA. And so, Father, we're off to a good start here. We've got hundreds of people already watching live. And Father, the prayer of my heart is not just for this opening session and the intro, but for all of the 75 sessions over the next 75 days, that you would be with the technical aspects, that you would be with the content, that you would be with our understanding, that you would make us pliable in your hands, so that we will come out of this challenge better followers of Jesus than we were when we went into the challenge. That's really what it's all about, Father. This is a devotional reading of Scripture, and we want to know how to love you, how to know you. And so, Father, above everything else, we need your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, to come and teach us, to infill us, to show us, to transform us. And so, Father, my prayer for those that are tuning in all around the world, and that's just an amazing thing to say, is that we would have truly an encounter with you, that this would be less OT with DA and more OT with JC, the Old Testament with Jesus Christ, or OT with HS, the Old Testament with the Holy Spirit. And so be with us now, Father, as we go into session number one, our intro. And we're just looking forward to what you have in store for us. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are at almost 700 people live on Instagram. And for those of you that are tuning in via YouTube, let me just start. I gave a little bit of history there in the introduction, but let me just give a little bit of history here very briefly and tell you what's going to happen in our intro. The goal here over the course of about the next hour is to give a little bit of history on OT with DA, talk a little bit about how we got to where we are here tonight, today. And then also I'm going to talk about the introduction to this book, Patriarchs and Prophets. This is the book, almost 1,000 pages that we'll be reading through. This is an incredible book. I'll tell you more about it in just a little bit. So let's just sort of start with kind of a general orientation to OT with DA, especially for those of you that maybe did not do DA with DA. I've had so many people reach out to me and say, I didn't know you were doing it. I didn't know it was a thing. My neighbor told me, my friend told me, my son told me, my mom told me, I didn't know it was a thing. So if you ever do it again, let me know. So now you know, consider yourself in the know. And so let me give you a little bit of history here. How far back do I go? Well, I was born in Cheyenne, Wyoming. We're not going to go back that far. It was probably about 4 years ago that a gentleman by the name of Mark Cook approached me. Mark Cook is a graphic designer and an entrepreneur and a really great guy, a husband, a father, and a real dude. Mark, love you, bro. And he reached out to myself and Ty Gibson several years ago and said that he had this idea to create a new and updated version of the Conflict of the Ages series. The Conflict of the Ages series, if you don't know, is a five-volume series written by Ellen White, okay? And I'm going to tell you more about the history of that in a little bit. I've got the series right here. And historically, that series has been called The Conflict of the Ages, and it goes through basically five volumes. Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, Desire of Ages, Acts of the Apostles, and The Great Controversy. And because these books were published in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the language was a little dated, and the King James Version was a little dated. That's the primary version that Ellen White used in the writing. And so Mark approached myself and Ty and said, hey, we've got this idea. We want to do an amazing, updated, beautiful, heirloom quality version of the Conflict of the Ages series, and we're going to call it The Conflict Beautiful. Immediately, I was like, this is an incredible idea. I totally support it. What can I do to help you? And at that time, when he originally approached us, it was just an idea. They were doing a Kickstarter campaign. And long story short, we said, yes, yes, yes. We gave our enthusiastic support. And about, I suppose, a year later, I received a text or a call from Mark, and he said, the books are in. And I was just thrilled to know that this idea had been actualized. And I'll never forget the first time that I actually laid hands on these books. They exceeded my already high expectations. I was like, these things are works of art. They are beautiful. These are books that I want to own. I want these on my shelf. And so anyway, I ended up getting, they come in two colors, the Sanctuary color set, which you see here, and then also a grayscale color set. I couldn't decide. I was indecisive, right? Paralysis by analysis. And so I got one of each. One of each. And they, one sits on the right side of my bookshelf and the other on the left side. Anyway, so when I had this brand new set of books, I was sitting there and I had just finished a sort of, I don't remember exactly what I'd done for my devotions. I think I had just read through the book of Romans again. And I was like, what should I do? What should I do for my next devotional exercise? And I love the Conflict of the Ages series. I've read each book numerous times and it just popped into my mind, hey, read The Desire of Ages. That brand new, beautiful copy, updated language, updated, it's New King James Version. And I was like, yeah, that's it. That's obvious. And then in prayer, the Holy Spirit gave me this idea, you should do it live, like on Instagram Live, because I'd just kind of been figuring out this whole Instagram Live thing. And I was like, whoa, that's an amazing idea. And this is kind of how Life with David Asherick works. You don't really think about, how you're going to do it. You just decide to do it. And so I was like, okay. And so literally within 15 or 20 minutes of the Holy Spirit inspiring me, impressing me, whatever you want to say, influencing me, I just put it up on Instagram. Hey, starting in 2 weeks, I'm going to do this thing called DA with DA. The Lord even gave me the idea. DA, Desire of Ages with David Asherick. I thought it was a catchy title. A little cheesy, I freely admit, a little cheesy, but I'm a dad. Of course it's going to be a little cheesy, right? Dad jokes and cheesiness just falls out of me. And so anyway, I launched it, and then people started tuning in, and it just took on a life of its own, and it became a thing. And then I dropped my iPad and had to... Anyway, that's a long story. I'm not going to go into all that. So that was DA with DA. It was a 100-day challenge reading through the third volume of The Conflict Beautiful, right here. And if you look in this, you probably can't see it. But this thing is just marked, top to bottom, because when we read through this, we just marked it up. 100 days, absolutely amazing, transformative for me, transformative for the listeners. And I think, it took us 100 days. I think that's right. It took us 100 days to do it. And as soon as it was done, people were like, hey, you need to do the rest of the conflict beautiful. And I was like, whoa, that was a big mission. I had a lot of time on my hands during COVID, so I was like, okay, we'll see. And then once again, I just said, okay, we're going to do it again. And my wife was like, how are you going to do that again? You had a lot more time on your hands last November and December. You have speaking appointments. You're going to Australia to teach it. How are you going to do this? I said, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do it. We're going to do it anyway. And even Ty Gibson and the Yamil Rosario and the team at Light Bearers, they're like, I don't know how you're going to do this, but whatever. We're going to do it. So anyway, that's the history of how we got here. Just a couple brief things. Right now, through January 23rd, this is very important, through January 23rd, if you order the Conflict Beautiful series, which is what you see here, in either the Sanctuary color or the Grayscale color set, and you use the discount code OTWITHDA, you use that discount code, you get 10% off of anything that you order that's associated with what we're doing here, the Conflict Beautiful or the journals, which I'll talk about in just a second, and upgraded shipping. Okay, now that's only through the 23rd, and a giant shout out to Mark and the team at Types and Symbols. These guys are so amazing. I just asked them if they'll do something, and they're like, yeah, sure, we can do that. They're awesome. I love them. I love working with them. They make an incredible product. They do such a great job. So I wanted to let you know that. Also, at the end of OT with DA, just like we did at the end of, we're over 700 now. Bam! Just as we did at the end of DA with DA, we did a drawing, and we gave away 2 complete sets of the Conflict Beautiful. We're going to do the same thing at the end of OT with DA. One will go to a first-time reader, and the other will go to just anybody that completes the challenge in the 75 days. Okay? So we're going to do a drawing. Also, if you use the OT with DA discount code, you are automatically enrolled in a drawing for 1 of 2 sets of the Light and Life collection, which is something that I'll tell you more about in the future, but that's basically 3 new volumes from... not new from Ellen White, but 3 volumes from Ellen White that are newly printed and published by Types and Symbols, Christ Object Lessons, Steps to Christ, and my favorite book that she ever wrote, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. So you'll be enrolled in a drawing to win that. I'll talk more about that as we go on, but I just have it in my notes here. Okay, what else do I got? We'll probably have other prizes along the way, and, you know, DA with DA was an adventure, and this is going to be an adventure, too, so we do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Hallelujah. Okay, so now let me just tell you how this is going to work. This is going to work very similar to the way that DA with DA worked, but I know that many of you were not with us on DA with DA, okay, so let me just, for those of you that were with us on DA with DA, you'll say, yeah, I knew all that. With maybe a couple little changes, but if this is all new to you, let me just explain to you how this is going to work. Starting today, what is today? January 16, is that right? January 16, I think, is today. For the next 75 days, ending on about, I think it's April 1st or April 2nd, if you count it out, every single day, by the grace of God, and I say that, by the grace of God, we're going to need some prayer to get through this, and pray that the technology works, and pray that I don't get COVID again, and pray. So over the course of the next 75 days, every single day, we will have a post, okay? And the post will be on whatever the chapter that was assigned for that day in Patriarchs and Prophets. There are 73 chapters in this book, 73 chapters. We're doing an intro day, and then we'll do a grand finale for a total of, you guessed it, 75 days. Okay, so this incredible book, Patriarchs and Prophets, is the book that we're going to be going through. It's almost 1,000 pages, 73 chapters. I'll talk more about this book in just a second, okay? Right now, I'm just sort of telling you how it's going to work. So a chapter a day. Now, you can watch in 1 of 2 ways. You can watch on Instagram Live, and sometimes it's going to suit your schedule, and sometimes it's not, because it's not always at the same time. Tonight, here where I'm at in Colorado, we're in the evening. For the most part, OT with DA will take place in the morning because this is really like our devotions. This is our devoted time to God, reading through Scripture, praying through Scripture, journaling through Scripture. And so for the most part, this is going to happen in the mornings. But one thing that I noticed when we did DA with DA was that people really like Friday evening sessions and even Saturday evening sessions. So depending on whether or not I'm preaching that Sabbath or what's happening in my life, on weekends we will probably do, usually, though not always, in the evenings. So the only way it's going to really work, say, how am I going to know? Well, the way you're going to know is you'll pay attention on Instagram and or Twitter or even Facebook. I'm not going live on Facebook, but I will be putting updates there. And I'll let you know what that week looks like or what the next day looks like. So for example, tomorrow we will be going live on Instagram at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. 5 o'clock Mountain Time. Tonight it was 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. So 2 hours earlier than today, okay? And then on, I guess, Tuesday, we'll almost certainly be in the mornings. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow because we still have some sort of technical things. We're like dotting I's and crossing T's and we don't have it all figured out yet. But tomorrow, 5 o'clock by the grace of God, okay? So every day a chapter. You can either get it live on Instagram or you can wait and get it on YouTube. Again, about an hour or two after the live is done, it'll be uploaded to my YouTube channel, which is just David Asher. Okay, as I've said, this will be 75 days of bookish adventure, right? It's going to be you, and it's going to be me, and it's going to be our OT with DA community, and most importantly, it's going to be with the Holy Spirit, okay? So get ready for 75 days of bookish awesomeness, okay? This is going to be an adventure. Now, what you'll want to do is try and read the chapter, if possible, before you watch the video, okay? So let's say it's chapter 13 for that day. If possible, read chapter 13, then watch the video, okay? If you do it in reverse order, it's not the end of the world, but try to keep pace, a chapter a day, a chapter a day. If you fall off the pace, that's okay. It's not a race. I had a lot of people that said to me, look, DA with DA took me the whole year, but I finished it. In fact, I just got an email yesterday saying, man, DA with DA was amazing. I finished just in time to start OT with DA. And so we had hundreds of people that actually went through the 100-day challenge and kept pace. But then we had thousands of people that just have done it at their own pace. So totally up to you. Totally up to you how you want to use this. It's a resource that's being created. It's live on Instagram, but it's also, you know, eternal on YouTube, and you can watch it whenever suits your schedule or your timetable. So you're going to want to read the chapter before, and you're going to want to have certain things available to you. Okay, so obviously, you're going to need a copy of Patriarchs and Prophets. Okay, that goes without saying, because this is the book we're reading through. Okay, so you're going to want to get yourself a copy of Patriarchs and Prophets. If that's from Types and Symbols, great. If that's a version or a copy that you already have, great. If you want to go ask your mom or your grandma, whatever, get yourself a copy of Patriarchs and Prophets. You are also going to want to have a Bible. I've got two. I got my New King James Version and my NIV version, okay? You're definitely going to want to have the Bible nearby because in every case, when we read through a chapter, there will be, at the beginning of that chapter, a corresponding biblical context and reference, okay? So it'll say, this chapter is based on Genesis 1 and 2. So what I'm going to do and what I encourage you to do is read Genesis 1 and 2 and then read the chapter. And so if you do the whole thing, it's kind of a mission. That's why we call it a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge, right? Because if you read the biblical material, then you read the Patriarchs and Prophets chapter, then you journal, which I'll get to in just a second, write down both in the margin of the book itself and in a journal. If you have the Types and Symbols journals like I have, it's made for this. Or if you just have a regular old journal, like this is my DA with DA journal right there. There it is. Great. And then if you watch the video and you pray, I mean, this is a mission. It's a challenge. And I had a lot of people say to me that they would sometimes fall behind in the week, but then they would do two or three or four on the weekend. Okay, great. Awesome. I've also had a lot of people say to me that they listen to the audiobooks, and there are several versions of Patriarchs and Prophets available via audiobook, and you can find those. If anybody wants to put up the links in the either the YouTube comments or in the Instagram live chat, go ahead and do that. Now, just a brief word about the journals. So these journals right here, look at how beautiful they are. Look at that. These journals right here were created by myself in partnership with Types and Symbols. And there's one journal for every volume of The Conflict Beautiful, right? So all the way through Patriarchs and Prophets, through all five volumes, ending with The Great Controversy. So this particular volume here is for the Patriarchs and Prophets, and it's got one chapter or one section for every chapter of the book, right? So 73 chapters, and so there's 73 sections in here. So what I'm going to be doing is, in the same way that I had this journal for DA with DA, and I'll just show you here briefly what that looks like. So let's open up to a random page, right? In the same way that I used that journal, now I have a journal that already has the rubric in it. Okay, you'll get the hang of this if this is new to you, but let me just sort of explain to you what I mean by the rubric. Something that the Lord impressed upon me, that the Holy Spirit gave me, all glory to God, when I got the DA with DA idea, it's hard to say, was this idea of having a simple, succinct, memorable rubric that we could do at the end of every chapter so that we could easily remember and access what it is that we'd learned in that session. And so what I came up with and what I've got here is the point, the person, the prayer, the practice, the promise. Okay, so it's probably difficult to see that, but that's what goes down. So at the end of every chapter, or at some point in the chapter discussion, you're going to fill that out, okay? The point, what was the point of the chapter? And you'll get the hang of this as we go, if this is new for you. The person, what do we learn about the person of God, the person of Jesus from this specific chapter? Not just some general thing, but what specifically in this chapter did we learn? And then the prayer, how can I pray this chapter? How can I, David Ashrick, or how can I, Margaret, or how can I, Ron, or how can I, whatever your name is, how can I pray this chapter? So that's the prayer. And then the practice, very similar, related to the prayer. How can I practice this chapter? What are those actionable steps, those points of practical application that I can say, oh, you know what? I could, and the more practical, the better. And then finally, the promise. This is where we claim the power of the Holy Spirit to keep his biblical promises, to keep, the Holy Spirit is the inspirer of Scripture. He's also the instructor of Scripture, right? That's why we pray for the Holy Spirit. We ask him to come down and teach us things that are more than human, things that are supernatural. And man, God does this. God just shows up in a big way when we take Scripture seriously, because we're asking the inspirer of the text to become the instructor in the text. And before you know it, God is showing us things that even theologians didn't see. Now, again, I'm not creating a tension there or a competition between a formal theological enterprise and what God reveals to us in our devotions, but it's one thing to read a theological treatise or a theological volume. That's great. That's awesome. I spend a lot of my time reading books like that. But some of the most precious gems that God has ever revealed to me in Scripture about myself, about my situation, my family, my finances, my needs, my struggles, have not come from words about Scripture, i.e. books on theology. They've come from Scripture. Scripture itself. When the Holy Spirit just takes the fingerprint, the finger of the Holy Spirit, and just puts it on the pulse of my specific need, and God does great things. And so that's the prayer. So just to remind you of the rubric, it's the point, the person, the prayer, the practice, the promise. Okay, so I'm going to fill that out every day. Whether or not you have a journal like this, one of these beautiful types and symbol journals, hey, doesn't matter. Get yourself some journal and journal. Now, I'll also be writing in the margins of my book. We'll talk more about that. You'll catch on. Okay. Oh, one more thing I almost forgot. This was just an idea that came to me in the DA with DA challenge, and it worked out swimmingly well. At the end of every chapter, let me just show you. After I'd read every chapter, sometimes more than once, I would just come up with a word. Sometimes it was just a word that impressed itself upon my mind in the reading. Sometimes it was a word that was used repeatedly in the chapter. But I was just looking for a word that, for me at least, there's not a right answer or a wrong answer, but for me, a word that encapsulated what that chapter was about. A single word, a single idea. And so what I would do is, I'll just show you an example here. So this is Desire of Ages. This is chapter 24. Is this not the carpenter's son? And when I look here, I see the word unwelcome. And I just wrote that word right there, unwelcome. That word captured the essence of that chapter. And in the Types and Symbols journals, let me just show you here briefly. I'll just open up to a page here. This is chapter 34. Right here at the very top, it just says, the Word. And so you're going to want to write that down. I'm going to write it down in both places. I'm going to put it in my journal, and I'm also going to write it in the book itself, just like I did with the Desire of Ages. The Word. And sometimes, I should say, very often, the Word, I just knew it. It just came to me. I was like, oh yeah, this Word. But other times, it wasn't clear. And I would actually look to the DA with DA community, and I'd say, what are your words? You know, what are your words? And very often, the words were different than mine, which was awesome. And I was like, oh man, I like that. Why didn't I think of that? So it's really cool you get that sort of community thing. That's a really cool part. You'll see. Here's another one. I just turned to chapter 46. He was transfigured, and my word is alone, right? Because it says there in the text, they saw no one except Jesus only. Jesus was alone, okay? So that's what we're going to be doing. That's the word, and it's really a sort of further summary. The rubric shrinks it down, right? The point, the person, the prayer, the practice, the promise, it shrinks it down, and then that individual word, like, shrinks it way down. Oh, one more thing I'll show you. The other thing I did was, in the table of contents, I actually wrote down all the words. Let me just show you here. So I wrote down, just hold it up to Instagram there, all the words right along so you can see that. Okay? So I'll just, like, for example, warning, one, clean, remember, comforter, separation, calm, might, silent, king, victory, Sabbath, trophy, alive, etc. Those were my words that, to me, encapsulated the chapter. And I should say, you know, most of these books I've read over and over again. I've read Desire of Ages like 7 or 8 times now. I've read Patriarchs and Prophets, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 times. And so if you go back and read these books a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, your word will probably be different because you're a different person. Right? Like the things that are going to impress your mind are going to be different every time you go back to read the book. Right? I think it was C.S. Lewis who said that much is lost by not reading great books more than once. Totally agree. You know, the value of a book is significantly enhanced by reading it again and again and again. I have books in my library that I've read almost 10 times. And I have chapters of books that I've read dozens of times, including, for example, the first chapter of Patriarchs and Prophets, Why Was Sin Permitted? I've read that thing dozens of times. Okay, so let's see. Do I have anything more here to say? Have a Bible nearby. You're going to want to have marking pens. So in my case, I'm going to have a blue and a black, probably. I'm going to have a red and a highlighter. I've already said if you fall behind, don't despair. Prayer is the key. You can make it up on the weekends. And if you fall off the pace, no problem. The videos are on YouTube, and we do recognize, you know, this is challenging. It's not easy to dedicate, you know, if you do all of it, if you do the chapter and the journaling and you read the biblical material and you listen to the video, that's at least an hour to two a day. Okay, so it's a big time commitment, and I recognize that, but, you know, we make time to eat every day, and we make time to recreate most days, and we make time to work, and we make time to shower, and we make time to get dressed. This is a challenge, right? And so in the same way that you can have a 100-day workout challenge or an eating challenge, and you just really buckle down to focus, that's what OT with DA is going to do for you. It's what it's going to do for me. And I can assure you of this. If you go through with this challenge and you keep pace, even if you say it takes you 100 days, you more or less keep pace, you will come out the other end and you will say this, trust me on this, you will say, that was an absolute life-changing experience. And 5 years from now, if I meet you somewhere and we get to talking, you will say to me and I will say to you, OT with DA was a game changer in my spiritual journey. I promise you that. Okay, I'm just sure of that. So it is going to take a little bit of sacrifice, but it's going to be awesome. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about Patriarchs and Prophets, the book, a little bit about the history, and just we'll spend a brief amount of time on the introduction itself, because there is an introduction that I did read, thought it was good, thought it was excellent, actually. So I'm just going to start and I did a little bit of this in the very first session of DA with DA, so I'm not going to go quite as in-depth here, but I did want to give you a little bit of background on the history of this book, the scope of this book, the purpose of this book, and I think this will get us off to a really great start when we read chapter 1, which is maybe the single most important chapter in all of The Conflict Beautiful. I mean, like literally, it might be the most important chapter. Why was sin permitted? As I've already said, I've read that chapter over and over and over again. We'll be there tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Mountain Time. Okay, so a little bit about the book and a little bit about the author of the book. The author of the book is a woman named Ellen White. She was born in 1827 and she died in 1915 at the age of 87 years old. She was born in the Northeast in a town called Gorham, Maine. She was raised in a Methodist home, so a Protestant home, a Methodist home. She married a young man named, her name was Ellen Harmon when she was born. She married a young man named James White, who was a young minister, in 1846. And then she, in 1844, actually just prior to her marriage to James White, began to have visions or sort of seeing things in a way that was regarded by herself and by those that were in her circle, her faith community, as being from God, divinely given, inspired visions. And the word prophecy was used. That she was being given prophetic visions. And this is what is talked about in the introduction to Patriarchs and Prophets. But, the introduction is written by a contemporary of hers named Uriah Smith. We'll get to that in just a second. So in 1844, she began to have these visions. In 1858, she had probably the most important vision of all of the many visions that she had in her life. And that vision is sometimes referred to as the Great Controversy Vision. Now, if you recognize that title, The Great Controversy, it's actually the fifth volume of The Conflict Beautiful, The Great Controversy, right? And this idea of The Great Controversy is the notion, the biblical notion, that there is a conflict, that there is a war, that there is a battle between God and his self-styled enemy, Satan, or Satan. The word means adversary. And there is tremendous biblical evidence for this notion of a conflict between God and a rebellious angel, an angel that rebelled against God's goodness and governance and led a third of the angels to rebel with him. Now, we'll have time to talk about that in the course of Patriarchs and Prophets, and eventually, when we work our way all the way through The Conflict Beautiful and we get to this volume, the Great Controversy, we'll have lots of time to talk about it, okay? So she had this vision in 1858, and after she had that vision, she began to write. She was already writing to some degree, but she began to write furiously, and she actually became, I think, the most prolific English language author of all time. I mean, just writing articles and pamphlets and letters and eventually books. Books upon books upon books upon books. Now, what you and I now call the Conflict of the Ages series, or the Conflict Beautiful, I actually prefer that title, did not originally start off as a five-volume set called the Conflict of the Ages series. Between 1858, that's the year that she had that Great Controversy vision, this war, this battle between God and his enemy, the adversary, Satan. Between 1858 and 1864, a series of four volumes were written that were simply called Spiritual Gifts. They were small books where Ellen White was telling what she'd seen in these visions. Now, just pause there. Some of you might be going, whoa, my friend invited me to be a part of this. I don't know anything about visions. I don't know about Ellen White, prophecy, visions, 1858. This is all new to me. I get it. It was new to me too when I started reading The Great Controversy at the age of 23. Give me 15 more minutes and I'll make a very good case for you to know why you should participate in OT with DA, even if this is all new to you. Okay? So stay with me. So eventually those four volumes written between 1858 and 1864 were then later written into a five-volume set called The Spirit of Prophecy between 1870 and 1884. Then those five volumes were further refined and became what we now know as the Conflict of the Ages series. And so you could say that these books were evolving works, which makes a lot of sense, really, because Ellen White, when she began to write, was a much younger person. She was not only younger in her Christian experience, she was younger in her maturity, as we all are. And as we age, we learn, we grow, we understand, we mature, and we begin to see the world in a different way, in many ways, in better ways, right? We become wiser. We become, we have more experience. We just have more awareness of the world around us. And so the first of these five volumes to be written was The Great Controversy, the one I just showed you a moment ago. It was published in 1888, but it wasn't actually released until 1890. And the very next year, Patriarchs and Prophets was released in 1890. I think I misspoke there. Great Controversy was originally sort of published in 1888, but it wasn't actually released until 1889. And the very next year, 1890, Patriarchs and Prophets came out. Now, Patriarchs and Prophets is a book that goes from basically creation. It actually goes a little before creation in the Angelic Rebellion that we just talked about, which we'll have opportunity to talk about in our first chapter, all the way up through some almost 1,000 pages to the death of David. Okay, King David, the second king of Israel. Now, if you're not familiar with sort of biblical chronology and the timetable of Scripture, that's not less than 3,000 years of Earth's history. 3,000 years. Okay, so you can see why it's a big book. So this book is going to take us from even before the Garden of Eden, and then from the Garden of Eden all the way through to the death of David, the second king of Israel. Okay, King David. So it's going to be amazing. I absolutely cannot wait. So published in 1890, and I'll just read you a couple really interesting ideas here. First of all, when The Great Controversy came out in 1889 and then Patriarchs and Prophets in 1890, in Ellen White's mind, she really viewed these books as like companion volumes, right? She viewed them as really kind of like a two-volume set. And she knew that other books were to come, but these books kind of stood on their own because you have the opening of this great conflict, this great controversy, and then the closing of the great controversy. She regarded The Great Controversy as the most important book that she ever wrote, okay? And this was the first book that I ever read of hers. But she referred to these books as kind of like companions, right? That you needed one to understand the other, okay? Pretty cool. So now I'm going to read to you something that she actually wrote in 1887 when she was in Basel, Switzerland, and she's talking about writing the book Patriarchs and Prophets. Okay, now listen to this. She says, "I have been writing upon the first volume of Great Controversy." That was the working title for this series, Great Controversy, that later came to be known as The Conflict of the Ages. So she says, "I have been writing upon the first volume of the Great Controversy, and it makes me feel very solemn as I review these important subjects, creation and the events from the fall of Satan to the fall of Adam. The Lord seems very near to me as I write, and I am deeply moved as I contemplate this controversy from the beginning to the present time. The workings of the power of darkness are laid clearly before my mind." So here she's, in 1887, she's like, man, I'm writing this volume that's sort of a larger magnification, an explanation, and exegesis, an unpacking of the early part of the Old Testament. She's like, it's amazing. It's just moving my mind. It's impressing my mind. It's incredible. Earlier that year in 1887, her son, Willie White, wrote this. And I included this because I thought it was quite funny. So he's writing about his mother's work on the book Patriarchs and Prophets. And he says this in a letter from January of 1887. He says, "Mother is doing her best to complete her manuscript on Old Testament history, and Sister Davis is making good progress in preparing it for the printer. I tell you, my brother, it will be a splendid book." I like that. I totally agree. It is a splendid book. And right at this point, I'll just spend the briefest of moments telling you a little bit about my own experience, right, with this companion book set. As I've already mentioned, I read The Great Controversy first, and only after I'd sort of gotten about halfway through it was I told, or did I come to understand, that this was actually the fifth in a five-volume set. A little unusual to start with the last book in a series, but that's what I'd done. I didn't know. I didn't know otherwise, because somebody just gave me that book in a vegetarian restaurant. I read it. I was like, this is incredible. These prophecies are amazing. It talks a lot about the second coming of Jesus, and I was like, I'm in. And I like to say it like this. I read The Great Controversy and the door was opened to the possibility and the beauty of biblical things, spiritual things, Jesus Christ, the Bible, God. But then the next book that I read was the first volume, Patriarchs and Prophets, and whereas The Great Controversy sort of opened the door, Patriarchs and Prophets invited me to stay. And this book, Patriarchs and Prophets, became absolutely formative in my spiritual journey. I can't even, I mean, it was just, my whole world was turned upside down. I was a pre-med student at the University of Wyoming. I read that book, and I literally remember thinking to myself, well, my whole life is taking on a new direction now. I just knew it. I could sense, all right, so what next, Jesus? You know, where are we going? And I read this book. In fact, I was just thinking about it today. I read Patriarchs and Prophets in early 1996, like January, February 1996. It was like a lifetime ago. And I was baptized in June of 1996. I wasn't baptized as a follower of Jesus until after I'd read Patriarchs and Prophets, and I was just settled. I was like, the Bible is true, and God is faithful, and Jesus is beautiful, and I was in. Great Controversy opened the door. Those prophecies, they piqued my interest. They titillated my curiosity and my intellect, but it was the great moral framework of the Old Testament and of Torah. It was God's faithfulness in the Abrahamic covenant that drew me in, and I fell in love with the biblical story and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the great stories of Genesis and the law. I just fell in love with it. And I literally knew that my life was on a different trajectory. I just could tell. I was only 23 years old, turning 24 in that summer, baptized in June of 96. So I turned 24 that summer in August. And I was like, okay, I have no idea what the future holds, but whatever it is, I'm going with Jesus. I'm going with God. I'm in. And so that's my own sort of experience. When Willie White says that it's a splendid book, I couldn't agree more. Okay, one more quotation here from Ellen White. She's writing here in 1890, the year that Patriarchs and Prophets was published, and she's writing of both of these books. She's writing a letter to a friend about The Great Controversy and Patriarchs and Prophets, and this is what she says. God gave me the light contained in The Great Controversy and Patriarchs and Prophets. And this light was needed to arouse the people. That was exactly my experience. It just aroused me. It just got me thinking about things that are eternally consequential, things that matter most. You know, origin, meaning, morality, destiny. Where am I from? Why am I here? Where am I going? How should I live? It aroused my spiritual, my otherwise dormant spiritual sensitivities. And so she says, the light was needed to arouse the people to prepare for the great day of God, which is just before us. These books contain God's direct appeal to the people. Thus he is speaking to the people in stirring words, urging them to make ready for his coming. The light God has given in these books should not be concealed. Bam. So it actually kind of makes sense that we would go from Desire of Ages back to Patriarchs and Prophets, and that we would start fresh, we would start from the beginning, and by the grace of God, if my health lasts and time lasts, and we can do it, we're going to go through the entire series, and then we'll go through the Light and Life collection as well. Christ Object Lessons, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, my personal favorite, and Steps to Christ. That's going to take us years, but hey, I'm young, I'm still in my 40s, let's do this, right? Let's do it. It's going to be great. Okay, what are the themes of this book? I was reading today in the gigantic volume, the encyclopedia, the Ellen G. White Encyclopedia. And just to give you an idea, the book is like that big. It's as big as the two of those, right? It's just huge, the Encyclopedia of Ellen White. And it was written in part by a fellow named Denny Fortan. Denny Fortan, I don't think I've met Denny, but I've appreciated his work. And I'm just going to read you part of what he says the great themes of Patriarchs and Prophets are. Okay, so this is, are you ready for this? This is page 2135. You don't get to say that very often. Page 2135 of the Ellen G. White Encyclopedia. And he says, intended for both Seventh-day Adventists and the general public, Patriarchs and Prophets is a Christ-centered description, totally agree, and commentary of the events of biblical history that it covers. Of particular interest are Ellen White's presentations of, and then he highlights the things that really popped out to him and to many readers, and I couldn't agree more. She says, why was sin permitted? The fall of Adam and Eve and the plan of redemption, the giving and purpose of the law, the institution of the ceremonial system in the Old Covenant. A significant addition is the wonderful two-page description of God's law of love with which the book opens. So we'll encounter that tomorrow. That's in chapter one, God's law of love. He continues, her theological reflections on theodicy, you might be thinking, what's theodicy? Theodicy is a semi-fancy technical term used by theologians and others to describe the attempted vindication of God's goodness in the face of ubiquitous evil. Right? Evil is everywhere. The Bible says that God is good. Please explain. How do we affirm the goodness of God, the beauty of God, the faithfulness of God in the face of rampant evil in the world? That's called theodicy. Okay? And so he says her theological reflections on theodicy, the plan of salvation, and Christ's sacrifice of atonement, the purpose of the law, and the covenant with Israel are expressed in the context of God's love. Bam! And that's the secret sauce. That's the secret sauce to the whole Conflict Beautiful. In fact, the first three words in the Conflict Beautiful, as you will see tomorrow in Patriarchs and Prophets, are God is love. And the very last three words in the Great Controversy are the same three words, God is love. The secret sauce that Ellen White saw is that this Great Controversy, this unfolding narrative of the conflict between God and Satan, was an unfolding, a revelation, a disclosure of God's amazing, incomparable, self-sacrificial love. That's the secret sauce. Fortan finishes, and to show how the gospel of grace was already present in the Old Testament, and we're going to see that, and illustrated in the lives of the various biblical characters. Great introduction. Now, one thing I will say is that when you read Ellen White, whether it's a magazine article that she wrote for a contemporary periodical or one of the books that we'll be reading, many of us have noted, and it has been seen by inveterate readers of Ellen White, that she highlighted basically six consistent themes in her writings. I mentioned these in the DA with DA introduction, and I'll just mention them here again. They are, number one, no surprise, the love of God. The love of God is like the overriding concern of Ellen White's entire ministry. Number two, the great controversy, as we've been talking about. This back and forth between God and his arch enemy, his nemesis, Satan. Number three, Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension and the salvation that he freely offers. Hallelujah. Number four, the primacy of the Bible. The primacy of the Bible. Right, the centrality of the Bible, the necessity of the Bible, the primacy of the Bible, always again and again and again and again, right? Like a broken record, pointing people back to Scripture, back to Scripture, back to the text of Scripture. That's number four. Number five, she was deeply passionate about the second coming of Jesus. She was, after all, an Adventist. And most Christians are, by the way. Most Baptists are Adventists, and most evangelicals are Adventists, and most Pentecostals are Adventists. Most Catholics are Adventists. All the word Advent means is that we have the expectation that Jesus will return. You know, we just finished the Christmas season. Jesus came the first time. And the idea of the Advent is that he will come again. And so she was an Adventist. I'm an Adventist. Very likely you are an Adventist, not in the narrow denominational sense, but in the broader, more generous sense that we believe Jesus not only came in the incarnation in Bethlehem's manger, but he will return in glory. If you believe that, you're an Adventist. Okay? And then finally, number six, practical, spirit-empowered Christianity and service to the world. So those are the themes. Very quickly, number one, the love of God. Number two, the great controversy. Number three, Jesus' life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the salvation that he offers. Number four, the primacy of the Bible. Number five, the second coming of Jesus. And number six, practical, spirit-empowered Christianity and service to the world. Okay, we've just got the last, like, sort of maybe 10 minutes here. I'll go just very slightly over the hour, and I want to just talk briefly about the introduction. in Patriarchs and Prophets, written by Uriah Smith, a contemporary of Ellen White's, and I thought it was good. I thought it was excellent. I didn't take notes on it particularly. I just read it through, not because it wasn't good. I thought it was excellent, but because it's really just an introduction to the reader to kind of help them to understand what it is that they're going to be reading in this sense. He makes a strong biblical case, really a tour de force, of the New Testament evidence that there is the ongoing gift of prophecy and of the spiritual gifts described in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4 in the church presently. Right? Because some people hold to the view that after the apostolic age, the spiritual gifts disappeared. And Uriah Smith says, no. The gift of pastoral ministry and apostleship and of tongues and of healing and of prophecy, all of that continues up until the return of Jesus. And so that's basically what the introduction is about. And he makes a very persuasive case. I mean, I've never thought that it was anything other than perfectly obvious that the gifts of the Spirit would continue in the church until the consummation of the ages. But there are some Christian people who think, again, that these were limited to the apostolic age or maybe just a brief period in the post-apostolic age. But Smith says no, and I say no. Okay, so I'm just going to read you the concluding paragraph in the introduction where he's kind of making his case here to the reader and saying, look, here's an idea. We think that the woman that wrote this book had prophetic insight. We think that God showed her stuff. She knew stuff. Not only was she well-read, not only was she a researcher, she had visions. We believe that. But then this is the crucial point. He says, don't take my word for it. Read and see what you think. See what you think of it. And that's exactly the posture that we take in DA with DA and OT with DA. We do not have any kind of requirement that you believe at the outset or that you affirm at the outset that Ellen White possessed some kind of prophetic gift. It's almost irrelevant to the point at hand. The point at hand is, what did she say? What's the content? And does it illumine our understanding of Scripture? Does it increase our appreciation of God? Does it increase our desire to want to serve God? Right? You think about it this way. Think of the Old Testament prophets. Did you have to believe at the outset that Moses was a prophet in order to benefit from the revelation that God gave to him? No. The proof was in the pudding. You just read Torah, right? Just read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy and ask yourself this question. If I believe this, if I order my life according to this, is this true? Is this going to benefit me? And the answer is yes. And that's true for all the Old Testament prophets. It's true of Jesus, right? Jesus did not walk around saying to everybody, hey, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God, and you have to believe that before I teach you anything, before I tell you anything, before I give you any proverbs. No, that's silly. No. People came to understand his status and the giftedness that he possessed and his messianic identity based on the content of his life and his teachings. So that's the posture that we take in DA with DA and OT with DA. We're just going to read the books. And if they're awesome, they're awesome. And if they're not awesome, they're not awesome. Right? I'm not asking you to make any kind of upfront commitment. Let's just see how it turns out. Let's see if we learn anything. Let's see if our understanding of God's word increases, if our appreciation of Jesus increases, if our understanding of God's faithfulness grows. I will say this, just autobiographically. I've been a follower of Jesus for like 2 years, and I was beginning to preach and teach, and I thought I was going to be a doctor, and then I ended up sort of getting steered into ministry, and I've been there ever since. I tell people that I took a year off of medical school, pre-med, I should say, at the University of Wyoming, and I'm still on that year off, right? Haven't gotten back yet. But people would come up and say, how do you know what you know? How can you, you've only been a believer for a year, 18 months, 2 years. How can you stand up and preach? And I say, there's no secret. I just read the Conflict of the Ages series. And when I was done, I read them again. So for me, speaking autobiographically here, the proof is in the pudding. The knowledge that I have of Scripture and the transformed life that I've experienced as a follower of Jesus is directly attributable to the things that God has revealed to me in the text of Scripture and in this incredible narrative, this unfolding, unpackaging narrative that I find in The Conflict Beautiful. So that's all that we're asking you to do. And so this is how Uriah Smith concludes the intro. He says, all things are to be treated according to the apostles' rule. This is the last paragraph of the introduction. test all things and hold fast what is good. Or I would say it this way. Test everything and hold on to the good stuff. Keep the good stuff. And to be tested by the Savior's standards, you know this probably, by their fruits you shall know them. Exactly. Taste and see. That's our approach. Have a look, have a taste, have a read, see what you think. It is no requirement that you affirm the prophetic ministry and identity of Ellen White in order to benefit from OT with DA. Not at all, right? Just read through these books and ask yourself just a series of questions about whether or not it's been a blessing, whether or not you've learned anything, whether or not you've grown, whether or not your understanding of Scripture has increased, okay? Appealing to this standard in behalf of what claims to be a manifestation of the gift of prophecy, we commend this volume to the consideration of those who believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that the church is the body of which Christ is the head. Now, that's a very sort of 1890s way of speaking. Okay, let me just translate that into 2022 language. We recommend this book. We think it's awesome. And we think if you read it, you'll also think it's awesome too. That's what he's saying. So that's our approach here, the taste and see approach. What are the goals? What are the goals of OT with DA? I've identified four, and this is how we're going to close our introduction. You guys have been awesome. You've stayed with us. It's been very slightly over an hour, but these are our four goals. If you want to write these down, when we come out of this, 75 days from now, when we come out of this in the beginning of April, by the way, my anniversary is April 4th, and my wife said to me, "You do this whenever you want, but you have to be done by our anniversary." So I have a deadline. April 4 is the deadline, all right? So when we come out the other side of this in early April, what do I hope to have accomplished? What do I think the Holy Spirit's trying to accomplish? Let me tell you. Number one, I want myself and I want all of us to know and to love God better. To know and to love God better and more, and to better understand Him and His actions in the Old Testament, right? Number two, to learn how to read the Old Testament, how to understand the Old Testament. Lots of people are super intimidated by the Old Testament. They're like freaked out by the Old Testament. John, no problem. Matthew, no problem. You know, even the epistles of Paul, no problem. They can even stomach Revelation. But you get them in the Old Testament, they're freaking out. Lots of people are intimidated by the Old Testament. I understand that intimidation. But hopefully by the end of this 75 days of reading and praying and journaling, we will be less intimidated. We'll have a better understanding. And so number two, to learn how to read and how to understand the Old Testament and to decrease that intimidation factor. Okay? Someone has said, and I completely agree with this, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And we're going to see that again and again. We'll talk more about this. We've got lots of time together. Number three, this is kind of like a 2B to 2A, right? So this is number three, but it's kind of like part of number two. To not only know that Jesus is the hero of the story, but to understand why Jesus is the hero of the Old Testament story, right? Lots of people know that Jesus is the answer. They know that's the right answer to the test. Okay, great. But why? Right, when Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 39, "You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me," what does he mean? He's literally saying the Old Testament's about me. How so? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out not only that Jesus is the hero, we're going to find out how he's the hero and why he's the hero. We're going to understand what Paul meant when he wrote and said, all of the promises of God are yes in the Messiah, Jesus. How? How are all of God's Old Testament promises yes in Jesus? We're going to find out. That's number three. And then finally, number four, I mean, really honestly, really practically here, to be transformed. That's what I want to have happen, to be transformed, to experience genuine repentance, and then following that repentance, the freedom and joy that comes from obedience. Spirit-filled, Spirit-given obedience. I want to be transformed. I want to be a better version of myself. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better son. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better student of Scripture. I want to be a better neighbor. I want to be a better stranger, right, to people that just meet me. And I'm going to have that experience to the degree that I continue to repent, that I continue to enter into the freedom and joy of obedience. And so those are our four goals. That's what we're going to try and accomplish in OT with DA very quickly again, to know and to love God better and more, to understand Him and His actions, particularly in the Old Testament. Number two, to learn how to understand the Old Testament and to not be intimidated by it. Okay? Number three, to learn not only that Jesus is the hero of the story, the narrative of Scripture, but to learn why He's the hero of the story. What does it mean, for example, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, that Jesus Christ is the son of David, the son of Abraham? Well, clearly Matthew thought that Jesus' descent from Abraham and David was part of the punchline to the whole story. But do you understand that? Do I understand that? Let's find out. And then finally and fourthly, our goal, and we'll remind ourselves of these periodically throughout, to be transformed, to have the genuine experience of repentance, to enter into the experience of Israel and of Israel's sordid and rebellious history so that we can repent, so that we can change, that we can turn, that we can be transformed, and so that we can then experience on the heels of that repentance the joy and the freedom that comes from obedience alone. Okay, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That is basically everything that I wanted to say in our intro. I thought it would be about an hour, and it's been pretty close to that. We will be back tomorrow night. I'm going to close with prayer here briefly, but we will be back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock Mountain Time. So 2 hours earlier than we were today. We had over 700 people still at the end on the live. God bless you all on Instagram Live. We'll be back on Instagram Live tomorrow. The videos will be uploaded to YouTube very shortly. OT with DA is going to be amazing. Find a family member, a friend, a neighbor, an associate. Bring your cats, bring your dogs. On second thought, don't bring your cats, but you can bring your dogs. Just let's learn what it is that God has in store for us in a large portion of the Old Testament. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be amazing. I'm here for it. You're here for it. I'll be praying for you. You be praying for me. And let's pray right now as we close. Father in heaven, this has been a great kickoff. It's been awesome to see the little ticker there on Instagram just continually going and people chiming in and affirming and encouraging. And I'm seeing lots of heart emojis and fire emojis and scriptural references. Father, tonight we have spoken to hundreds, but the prayer of my heart is that through OT with DA, over the course of the months and years to come, that you will speak to many thousands. Lord, this is something that you laid on my heart. This wasn't an idea that I had. I can't just take credit for it. Father, this is something that you told me to do, and I'm doing it, and I'm loving it. I'm having a blast. So, Father, we pray that you would give us a great experience. Over the course of the next 2+ months, almost 3 months, may this be transformative, may it be informative, and may we come out the other side, having achieved by your grace and through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, all of these four goals that we just disclosed here, that we just enumerated here. We know you're going to do it, Father. You're the faithful God. And so prepare us for tomorrow, chapter 1. Why was sin permitted? It's a big one. It's an important one. And we're going to be immersed very deeply and very quickly in Scripture. And so prepare us for that. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.